This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo, along with Jerry Recco on The Fan.
Boomer and Geo on The Fan, CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back with us, who did amazing work yesterday. Double duty. We didn't know if Boomer was going to walk through that door yesterday morning or not. He did not. Jerry was bouncing back and forth, one seat to the other seat, handling his business.
Now, yeah, I've always told you that Jerry's the ultimate tool. And, you know, he can basically tool up to do whatever he needs to do, whether it be, you know, just the updates or sit in one of the power chairs here. I mean, that's our Jerry Recco. He's a power tool.
Nice to see you back, Boom.
Thanks, Jerry. What do you got for us, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Buick GMC of Mahwah. Visit BuickGMCofMahwah.com. We'll start with the Yankees, since the game ended literally 4 hours ago, maybe not even. They did beat the Angels in 14. Here's how the go-ahead hit sounded.
Swung on and lined to right center field. It is a base hit. Glaber scores. Ford goes to third. Oshela comes through again. How do you like that guy? Brian Cashman must be busting his buttons. What a find. Gio Oshela.
Yeah, he also gave him the lead in the 12th inning with a sac fly that was not held by Aroldis Chapman. But in the end, the Yankees beat the Angels in 14, 4-3, move to 12-10.
Man.
Jonathan Holder, two innings for the win. Luke Bard, the loss, even though he struck out four batters in the 14th inning. There was a bad throwing error by Jonathan Lucroy on the first strikeout of the inning. Just flat out overthrew first base, and that was the go-ahead run that came around.
Looked like
me
in softball, didn't it?
It was bad.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It looked like such and I know going back and watching it this morning, I guess Flaherty was saying, you know, it's really not an easy, it kind of is. I mean, I get what he's saying. He was 15 feet from the guy.
I know. Well, all these guys are just funny. Used to loading up and throwing it as hard as
That's
they can.
What he was
and
saying.
When they have to finesse like that, you see it all the time with pitchers, with comebackers.
Yeah.
You know, they have a problem with that.
It just looks so simple, but it wasn't. And so Bard strikes out four, but takes the loss. Here was Boone. His team makes it four straight.
Finding a way right now where, you know, it's not easy for us right now by any means, but the guys have been finding a way.
Like Urshela, who has done the job.
Since he's come up here and gotten an opportunity to play, he's had good at-bats. He's hit the ball hard. The defense speaks for itself.
And he says Añez just doing his part with this opportunity.
I mean, everybody here is doing his job. I like the way we've been playing.
Clint Frazier did hurt his ankle sliding, but did remain in the game. Said he felt a little sore, but thought he would be okay afterwards.
Now, out of all the guys on the Yankees, Clint Frazier does remind me the most of a hockey player.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, you take a puck to the ankle, you take a puck to the chin, whatever it takes. You go off the ice for a couple minutes, then you come back on.
Well, that's what he did last night.
That's right, exactly.
He stayed on, even though it didn't look great. Four in a row. Here's Holder, who got the win. He was with Susan, talks about getting the victory.
I was fortunate to make a couple good pitches, and, you know, my defense played really good behind me, and it was exciting.
Matt Harvey, a no decision, six innings for L.A., two runs, three hits, couple of walks, and Luke Voit did a homer in the first inning. Jay Happ, no decision, seven innings of three-hit ball. Here's Brian Cashman. We were talking yesterday, Jay, about where the hell is Aaron Hicks?
Yeah.
Well, he was with Mike yesterday talking about where Hicks is in his comeback.
He's got to build up both offensively and defensively, you know, as a center fielder. He's going to be longer than Stanton.
Who they expect as well.
Brown
coming back after Sanchez.
Yeah. How long did his answers go for?
Why, that one was 9 seconds.
That wasn't bad. Brian Cashman sucks.
Well, stop. That was a clip that was 9 seconds. For the answer, full answer was about the 9 minutes.
Could have been. He is very detailed and lengthy.
He's one of those guys when you get on, you got to say, okay, Brian, 10 seconds or less in an answer, so we can get to a lot of different
questions. I don't know that he ever really gives 10-second answers in full.
So Sanchez Wednesday, and then Stanton soon after, or what's the deal?
Next.
But we don't know when that could be. Could be another week. Could be another 2 weeks.
I think sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Is what it sounds like. But we'll see. Domingo Herman, Chris Stratton tonight. We'll have it on the Fan at 9:25. Meantime, the Mets and Phillies were delayed until 8:45 last night. And when they got things going, all good for New York.
Ramos hits it hard up the middle. A base hit into center field. Alonso rounds third. He heads home. Altair throws to the plate. It's cut off. Alonso scores. Wilson Ramos has an RBI single. The Mets, a 2-0 lead.
Wayne Randazzo on WCBS 880. That was the Ramos RBI single. Pete Alonso, an RBI double, also hit by a pitch with the bases loaded later in the game.
Sounded we'll get to terrible.
But he had a, Mickey will tell you in a second.
All right.
You also had in the fourth inning, so Rhys Hoskins hits a home run. This is after Bryce Harper strikes out. Now, Harper did not like strike two, and he did not like strike three. And when they show you the stupid box, borderline pitches, but they were close, but didn't like him. Mentioned something to the umpire walking back to the dugout. Like 10, 12 minutes later, as this inning is going on, after Hoskins hits the home run, it's now a 2-1 game, and there's two outs. I believe a 1-2 pitch on the batter. You get this.
1-1. High strike. At the top of the zone, as Mats has worked up there consistently tonight. And now somebody's been tossed, I believe Gabe Kapler, or maybe somebody in the Phillies dugout. Might have been Harper. Gabe Kapler is coming out toward the home plate umpire. Harper's right behind him. Mark Carlson, the home plate umpire, as Gabe Kapler has to fend off Bryce Harper behind him.
And Harper ejected there in the fourth inning. Mets went on to beat the Phillies 5-1 again. Wayne Randazzo. Here's Philly manager Gabe Kapler, who says Harper should not have been tossed.
There was normal chirping from the dugout that is in every dugout every single night. It was no different. Our dugout did not agree with Mark, a lot of Mark's calls.
That said, here's Jake Arrieta, who was not thrilled with Harper's actions.
He's got to understand, look, we need him in right field. I don't care how bad the umpire is. He wasn't great for either side. I'm out there trying to make pitches. He misses some calls. So what?
Wow.
But he wasn't there.
I mean, my goodness, you don't hear a lot of that.
No. And Arrieta said a little more, which we'll get through throughout the course of the morning, but all
Jake's got a history of that, though. I mean, I believe last year or maybe the year before, he was calling out his teammates. He likes calling out his teammates.
So let me ask you this question. How many years did Bryce Harper sign for?
10. 13? 13. Oh, right, 13. Yeah. Right. Machado was 10.
Maybe. And we're through, what, 20% or 10% of the regular season? A little bit more than that? Already?
Long way to go.
Ooh, baby, this is going to be fiery. The fiery fills, baby. I like it.
Here was Mickey Callaway says the team is ready to play. Steven Matz threw it well.
They come on a mission every day, and it's fun. It's fun to be around these guys. We get a great bunch of winners.
Every day?
They got a great bunch of winners.
We got a great bunch of winners, man. Look at them all. Look at them. We're all winners.
Hey, how many guys have gotten hit with baseballs over the weekend?
Well, it was three in a row. They didn't hit in the hand.
It's unbelievable.
So Alonso, we mentioned, hit by a pitch with the bases loaded. Also, Jeff McNeil got hit by a pitch.
He was the one who got hit in the hand, and that's 3 days in a row. You had Alonso, Cano, and McNeil, three games in a row, guys getting hit in the hand.
I love Alonso going to Mickey Callaway. Look, I'm playing. I don't care what you say. I'm playing. Put me in the lineup. I hate this guy. The pitcher for the Cardinals.
Yep. And it worked out.
Yeah.
Blasted home run.
Good night.
Callaway.
McNeil's going for x-rays right now just to be safe. Alonso has a pad on that hand, and it hit the pad.
Here was McNeil on SNY. Was there any concern on your part?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, whenever a ball hits your hand, you get a little nervous, but there's nothing wrong.
Now, also not a problem is Jacob DeGrom's arm.
He got did the, have MRI. The MRI. Yes.
Came back clean. Could start as soon as Friday. Tonight you got Zach Wheeler against Zach Eflin. WCBS 880 has it at 6:30.
I was more happy about that than just about anything that's happened to the Mets in the last 2 years.
You know what?
Honestly,
because
I was
expect
proud
the worst.
Of them. I was proud of them for getting that done.
I think I've told you guys the story quite a bit. And most quarterbacks during our era, because we had the two-a-days, would always have an achy elbow. The elbow would start screaming at you about 3 or 4 days into practice because you're throwing in the morning and you're throwing in the afternoon. And most of the time in the morning, you're throwing balls, believe it or not, that way heavier because of the dew on the grass. This is how stupid this is, right?
Okay.
And I'll never forget always going into the trainer. Hey, you know what, man, my elbow's killing me. I need a day. Maybe. Oh, no, you can't have a day. Stick your arm in the ice tub and call it a day and get your ass back out there the next day.
So I think that's probably – it sounded to me like that's what Jake was dealing with. Plus, he had the strep throat on top of all of it. So his body just wasn't right, and maybe he didn't go through his normal throwing routine or whatever it is. You remember, he throws twice between starts, I think. I think that's the difference for him. But I didn't think too much of it. I thought a lot was made of it because everybody initially thought the worst.
Yeah,
but it's,
well, barking elbow injured list MRI usually aren't good things to hear when you're talking about a guy you just gave $148 million
to. He's going to be sent back to New York, which he wasn't. He's going to, you know, I mean, it was the erroneous reporting on this thing in the beginning of it was just comical.
Was it erroneous or was erroneous? What Brody Van Wagenen told us?
Yeah, it was an erroneous reporting.
The initial report that came out, none of the stuff happened. He stayed.
Right,
he
but it wasn't threw. A report. It wasn't like sources. That was from the Mets.
Right, the Mets put it out. Not,
well, then that makes it even worse.
Yes, that's what we were talking about yesterday. They screwed this whole thing up with the messaging. It was them.
So Brody's not as squeaky clean as we all thought he was.
This one was a bad one. I think that he's done a nice job of communicating for the most part. This was a bad one.
I think he just jumped the gun.
Yeah,
it was kind of like DeGrom comes and says, my arm's not feeling right. All right, we'll send you for the MRI. And he's being very upfront. We're going to send him back for the MRI. And then DeGrom's like, nah, I'm good. Oh, all right. We'll wait.
Well, the last Mets pitcher to do that.
With Noah Syndergaard saying no to an MRI. That was a little bit different. He said, no, thanks. I'm not getting the MRI. And that didn't turn out well.
How's Noah doing these days?
Not so good.
No.
Yeah. Not great. Rockies beat
the
Nationals.
We can't wait. It's time for him to get a contract.
7-5. Nolan Arenado, a home run, the 1,000th hit of his career. A's over the Rangers, 6-1. Twins top the Astros, 9-5. Rays double the Royals, 6-3. And the Diamondbacks beat the Pirates, 12-4. Pitcher on the Pirates, Nick Birdie. Did you see this highlight?
I haven't.
This poor kid. He throws a pitch, and I guess he throws the ball in the high 90s. And I believe he has had Tommy John surgery in the past. He throws a pitch and collapses to the ground in just severe pain with the arm. And they're fearing that it is one of these major injuries again. So just a terrible highlight, and you feel bad for him. Odell Beckham Jr. So here we go. Giants GM Dave Gettleman does an interview with NJ.com a couple of days ago where he said, quote, there's more to it than just collecting talent. There is a cultural thing to it that's critical. I have not been on a team that's gone to a Super Bowl that's had a culture problem. He was then asked if he has one with the Giants. He responded by saying, quote, not anymore. That's part of the story, obviously, one little portion of the story. Someone then sent the article to Beckham.
Of course they did.
Who he then linked the article to on Twitter.
I bet you Al did it. Did Al, did you do it? Did you send it to him?
I did not.
He then wrote, with the link to the article, quote, this was by far one of the funniest things I've seen today, end quote. Then did a Q&A with fans where he addressed a lot of different things. And I know Greg's going to pull up a lot of them because it went on and on and on and on. Everything from the boat trip to the game against the Packers to a fan calling him a cancer. And he says he's only a cancer because he was on a team that accepted losing. I think that was something like that.
So he was the only one on the team that didn't accept losing.
Well,
is that what he's saying? That everybody else is a bunch of losers except for him?
I'm not reading into it. I'm just telling you what he wrote.
This is the worst part of social media, but also the best part for what we do. Right?
Well, it gives you a topic for sure.
Yes.
But it went on and on and on. And then at the end, he pretty much said, you know, have a great day. I'm in a great place. Been a great day. Happy to be in Cleveland. Something like that.
Good luck.
Bull crap. He was like, oh, I had such a great day. Got all this great news. Oh, haters, this and that. No, this guy was in a hole yesterday, and there's no way you could tell me otherwise. The fact that he opened himself up to all this stuff and these people like, you're a loser, shut up, let it go, and he's responding to them.
He responded to a lot of them.
And then he comes back with, I'm having a great day. No, you're just saying that to make it seem like you're not in some sort of crazy Twitter hole because you are.
Now in the same kind of vein, you know, what is Dave Gettleman doing here? I mean, Dave Gettleman.
He wasn't even speaking directly about Odell Beckham Jr. He got rid of like a million guys.
No, time out. He got rid of Landon Collins. He got rid of Olivier Vernon, and got rid of Odell Beckham Jr.
And Snacks Harrison and Eli Apple.
All right. So I guess. So you're right. So I guess, but that's the collection of five that he got rid of that supposedly were part of this whole culture change. I don't know why he's talking that way about it, but not only that, he also came out and said, you know, I stand by my resume. You know, I've been to 7 Super Bowls. I know what I'm doing. I mean, he's just as bad as Odell Beckham Jr., I think.
In what way? Why wouldn't he say that?
I don't understand why the need for a guy in that position.
I believe he was answering the question about the critics that are sitting there saying he doesn't know what he's doing.
I'll be the first to tell you that I like what he has done, with the exception of now, if they go through this draft and not select a quarterback, I'm going to rip my hair out. It's unbelievable. And, you know, and the hair means everything to me. You know that.
I can't wait.
I don't get it. So let me ask you a question, and this would be, it's a pretty simple question for the Giants and their Giant fandom to ask themselves. Who is the player at number six that plays defense that is going to turn your team around for the next 10 to 15 years? Is there a player on – is the next Lawrence Taylor there? Is the next Michael Strahan there? Harry Carson there, the guy that is going to be the anchor of your defense for the next 10 years. Is he there? The dog that, you know, that Jamal Adams wants for the Jets, and the dog that that Dave Gettleman wants for the Giants. Is that guy there, and is he going to have a better effect than, say, a Dwayne Haskins will if Haskins is there at number
six?
Can't
answer it either way.
Right, you have no idea. I mean
the greatest quarterback of all time was drafted 275th.
Right, I know that. I know. Believe me, I went through it myself.
Who knows?
But I'm just asking you, from your standpoint here, if you are the general manager of the Giants, you know that you have an inherent need, and I know he doesn't want to draft.
He doesn't think the same way we do.
I know
that's
that.
That's why we bang our heads against the wall.
Why he has the job that he has.
But his opinion is that Eli Manning can play this year and be great, and maybe even two more years.
Has a franchise that has had a losing record 5 out of the last 6 years.
I know, that's why we disagree with that opinion.
And they lose again, the coach that he hired is basically going to be on the freaking firing line again, and they're going to start all over again.
Beckham also called out the coach for not allowing him to play the last 4 weeks.
Well, he said he wanted to be there with his teammates on the sidelines, and he told them no.
Not the play.
I thought it was to not play and not travel.
Not to play, not to travel and stand there on the sideline.
I don't think it was a matter of being active and playing. It was being with the team.
Oh, I thought he was trying to say he wanted to play too.
I think the coach recognized that the player took himself off the field, and then basically said, forget it. You're taking yourself off the field. I'm not allowing you back on the
field. Yeah, nothing to do with playing. It was everything about being with the team while was inactive, and he said no.
I think that they believe that he could play and that he took himself off the field at least 2 of the last 4 games.
Jazz beat the Rockets 107-91, 3-1 series lead now for Houston with that loss. Bucks defeat the Pistons 127-104, 41 for Giannis Antetokounmpo as Milwaukee heads off to the second round for the first time since 2001. Nets in Philly tonight, coverage on 94.7 FM. Of course, we know Brooklyn down 3-1. Mentioned the fine for the minority owner who tweeted basically support for Sean Marks. And for what he said and did the other day, Nuggets home for the Spurs tonight. Thunder face the Blazers. Raptors take on the Magic. The Suns fired head coach Igor Kokoskov.
Yeah.
Kokoskov, however you say his name.
We've been down this
after Kirk. 1 year, he was Kokoskov. Let go because they want to go after someone. Hurricanes beat the Capitals 5-2 series, tied 3-3. Feels like we're waiting for 3 months for the Islanders.
Yep.
The winner will play the Isles, and the Stars beat the Predators in overtime 2-1. Dallas takes the series in 6, and they advance.
All right, so 4 out of 5 series that have ended in the NHL playoffs, 4 teams that have advanced were all underdogs going into their respective rounds.
Pretty impressive.
Two number 8 seeds.
Doesn't happen in the NBA.
Two number 8 seeds are advancing, Columbus and Colorado.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.